T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Our next guest is one of the best jobs in the world. He gets to go to sporting events and call them. MLB on Fox, Chicago Bulls. And he is doing the game this weekend at Levi's Stadium. 49ers and Dolphins. Adam Amin, good enough to join us here on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line. Thank you so much for joining Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto this afternoon. We appreciate your time, Adam. How are you, sir?
Gentlemen, I'm doing very well. Thank you. Hope you're doing the same.
We are doing the same. Absolutely. I think the 49ers are doing a whole lot better today because Jimmy Garoppolo is back in the building, and it also happens to be George Kittle's 27th birthday. So what more could a tight end ask for in a present than a starting quarterback coming back to a lineup?
I think you might have to get a look at the T-shirts that Garoppolo had commissioned for Kittle's birthday today with a very interesting photo. I did not get a clean look at the shirt itself, but apparently it is an entertaining photo of one George Kittle, now of age 27, as you mentioned, and apparently the shirt is a big hit with the entire group. So that's
is
how
it beefcakey because they do kind of swap beefcake photos of each other.
Listen, they have a bromance. However, you know, I'm sure Ray is cringing at the sound of that word, and that is fine and acceptable and probably the absolute right visceral reaction to it. But they do seemingly have a bromance together. They clearly have a lot of love for each other. They respect each other's game a lot. And you see how much of an impact Guy Kittle is, right? I mean, he's doing it with Mullins last week, with Beathard on the final drive. His blocking ability, everything that people praise George Kittle for, he's earned that reputation for a reason. It's rightful praise. So to now have the guy who is meant to be in that role on a consistent basis, a quarterback, to have, you would think, a better grasp of the offense and the athleticism and arm talent to maybe execute even better, you hope that this is a 49ers team that starts to get back to some semblance of what we saw a year ago when they started 8-0.
Conversely, how much prep have you felt like you had to do about the possibility that you might see Tua Tagovailoa at some point on Sunday? Or are you pretty well convinced that this is still Ryan Fitzpatrick's show for the immediate future?
I think for the immediate future, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick's show. That being said, I'm well prepared on Tua. I got a chance to call his college debut, in fact, when he played Fresno State at Bryant-Denny 3 years ago, right around this time. So I've had the opportunity to call several of his games. I saw what happened last year in the Mississippi State game when he got hurt, but I have a good understanding of him. And I do think, you know, and we might be talking second half of the season. I don't think it's that particularly far away, but I think, as you said, Ray, for the immediate future, yeah, I think it's Ryan Fitzpatrick's team. I think for the time being, that's where Brian Flores feels most comfortable. We'll find out a little bit more tomorrow when we have our typical meetings with the road team on Saturday. But it really feels like for the immediate future, Fitzpatrick is where they feel most comfortable in terms of having a veteran presence.
Adam Amin is going to be doing the Niners and Dolphins game this Sunday from Levi's Stadium. He's good enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Getting you ready for it. And again, we know the 49ers very, very well around here. The Miami Dolphins don't nearly hit that national big game of the week very often. So what can you tell us about them as you prepared for this team? We know that Devontae Parker is a problem. What else?
I think they have a couple of issues that I'm sure Niners fans are going to be much more aware of by the time kickoff rolls around, being as, you know, I know you guys really do lock in on what's happening week to week with the opponent. I feel like you'll look at left tackle and think this might be a good opportunity for some of these linemen who are getting opportunities because of injury. You know, Bosa's out, Solomon Thomas out, you know, no more DeForest Buckner. You're getting a lot of guys that maybe weren't expected to have as many snaps as they're about to have. They might be going up against a guy at left tackle, whether it's Jesse Davis or Julion Davenport. They're not Austin Jackson. Austin Jackson was the rookie out of USC who had gotten off to an excellent start in his first four games and then suffered the foot injury against Seattle last week. So now the left tackle position becomes a major concern for Miami and maybe an opportunity for some less experienced guys, or maybe guys who weren't expected to be as much of a contributor as they're about to be, for them to get some action and get to the quarterback and get to Fitzpatrick. Pushing the pocket against somebody like Fitzpatrick is important, and then being able to contain because of what he does in the scramble game. So I think that's something that we could see a lot of. Devontae Parker is a problem. Is he fully healthy? We'll find out. He's been dealing with a little bit of a hamstring at times this year. We'll see if he's good to go. The running back position, I think they have a lot of speed. You guys know Matt Breida very well, so you'll get a look at your old 49er and in a really running back by committee and a revolving door back there. Miles Gaskin's a young guy out of Washington that I'm sure Pac-12 fans are well aware of. So there are some pieces. Obviously, Gesicki's a good tight end, but I think there's a lot more concern right now than there is stuff to be excited about if you're the Dolphins. So I think 49er fans are probably feeling a little good right now.
Miami's secondary has been much criticized and ranks poorly in a lot of metrics, but they've had two terrible games and two pretty good games. So are they a decent secondary that just has some bad numbers, or are they a bad secondary that played better than they should have twice?
I would like to believe it's more of the former. I feel like getting Byron Jones back, it makes them a better secondary. And I think Xavien Howard should probably be somebody that more people talk about. You're right. This isn't a team that has a lot of national, whether it's appeal or attention. Either one, I think, is appropriate there. But I think Xavien Howard's a player that more people should know about. So I think they're a better secondary than maybe we realize, that maybe have had a couple of bad games. So I would be aware of such things. I think they have strengths on defense. Their linebacking core has typically been good. They've typically been well coached. They have a lot of different things that they can do, much like Bill Belichick's defenses when Brian Flores was a part of that staff. You do see a lot of exotic looks out of six-man fronts. You know, there's a lot of run-stuffing ability for this lineup, and there's pass rush ability out of exotic looks. So I think there are some interesting things on this defense that have put their secondary in a lot of man-to-man situations. And considering that they've been in a lot of those spots, I think they've actually performed fairly well. But obviously, you know, the rest of the season is going to tell us a lot more. But for the time being, I think they're a better secondary than maybe we realize.
Adam Amin here on 95.7 The Game. In all the play-by-play that you've done this year, can you even come close to getting used to doing games either from remote locations in satellite studios or doing games without fans? Like, which is the harder hurdle as a broadcaster to overcome, being remote or being all alone?
Being remote. For me personally, this absolutely might be different with other people, but for me personally, I don't think it's even close. It is so much harder to not be there than it is to be there and not have any fans. When I put a headset on, I kind of just get lost in the game. We spend all this time, right, preparing during the week, over the course of months, just in the course of a long season. We do all this preparation for the sake of, you know, being immersed in the material come Sunday. You know, we work really hard to make those hours on Sunday, you know, feel like it was worth it to put all this work into it during the week. That's the fun time to be on the air. So you kind of get immersed in that. You don't necessarily realize the gravity or maybe the lack of gravity when the fans aren't in the building. Plus we have that kind of extra noise, pumping in to our headsets. I know some of these broadcasts have added in some noise just to kind of normalize it a little bit. We get a little bit of that, so that helps that process. I was just in Houston for the first time at a baseball stadium this season. You know, I've been doing all my baseball games remotely, and finally we were calling the NLDS the other night, and it was amazing. It felt great to be in the building. I felt very fortunate in that sense, but the not being there or trying to call it off monitors and not feeling fully confident in what you're seeing and having to trust a picture rather than your own eyes, that's harder for sure. So I was very fortunate and very thankful that we had a chance to be there this week for some baseball, and thankful that we get to be on site for these football games.
Have you given in to the new broadcasting cliche of doing a game in an empty building and going, this crowd is going wild?
I haven't said it yet. And you've
Thank
done
you.
Me a service, my friend, because you saying that only confirms for me that I absolutely took the right track in not saying something like, and the crowd goes wild. Now, during our baseball games early in the year, we added some, you know, on Fox, we added the virtual fans, right? I think last time I talked to you guys, it was after a Giants A's game where we had the virtual fans. And that's just funny to reference that. In my head, in my messed up, screwed up head, it's just funny to make jokes about virtual fans that don't exist. I just think there's irony and hilarity in that. The crowd thing, like, that's a little more eerie and a little bit more, I feel it's a little closer to home for some reason. So, no, I have not taken the track of making the really bad pun yet.
Adam,
you may continue to work.
We're about to get our baseball Final Four. And again, since you've been calling playoff baseball games, I'd kind of like a little thumbnail sketch of what you think might happen. We're obviously about to find out whether the Yankees or Rays end up meeting the Astros. On the other side of the coin, Braves and Dodgers. What did you expect? What is the surprise? I mean, I can't believe that Atlanta has basically turned into the team that you can't score runs against.
That's the biggest surprise, that certainly of what I saw. You know, not much of the Dodgers-Padres series surprised me. The Dodgers were able to get through a ninth inning with a lot of difficulty, but that's been kind of an MO for them over the course of this weird season, just trying to get out of the ninth inning. Offensive explosions, that's not surprising. But the Braves pitching, to not have Soroka, to not have Cole Hamels for more than a start. Felix Hernandez, you know, they had him in spring training, like way back in spring training. That never came to fruition. And they're leaning on Max Fried to now elevate. This is the guy who was in the bullpen to start the playoffs last year, and now gets elevated into the ace role, pitched like it all year. Ian Anderson has no business being as calm as he was. Kyle Wright has no business being as collected as he was. I think Aaron Judge just hit a home run. I was shocked that Atlanta's pitching staff, their starting staff, performed as well as they did in the five games so far in the playoffs. The American League, I mean, Houston's, they got hot, and it's just, I'm sure there's a lot of irony that we could think about and discuss for, you know, at a later date, but just Houston's going to be in the ALCS, and they are going to be a very hard out for either the Rays or the Yankees, whoever advances. So I guess we can't be shocked when a team gets hot, but the Braves pitching staff by far, that's been the biggest surprise in this postseason thus far.
Okay, so if it's Astros-Yankees, does America have a rooting interest in the stadium swallowing up both teams? Or will they root for the Yankees because they've decided they have to hate the Astros? Or do they like the Astros because they've always hated the Yankees?
I think anything involving some kind of earth implosion is probably what many baseball fans would hope for if they have to watch that series. But I do feel like not being a Yankee or Red Sox fan, or not really hating the Yankees, I'm very indifferent to the Yankees. I was a National League kid growing up, so I didn't really pay attention to the Yankees and what their fans thought until recent years. So for me, I don't like what Houston did. I don't like, you know, but this is just me personally. I have nothing against Carlos Correa as a human. I'm sure there's, you know, there's plenty of good there. I'm just saying that what he said in the context of being a baseball player who is dealing with fake baseball drama, saying that, oh, you know, everybody's hating on us. Well, what do you have to say now? You still cheated, man. Like, that's not going to get past people. Like, people are going to be upset about that. So my guess is that the majority of baseball fans are probably going to take that as their narrative of preference and probably somehow root for Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton and Garrett Cole to win a series and go to the World Series.
And if they win it all without a single trash can being employed, does their shame go away, or do they wear this one for life?
I think there is a tendency to have memories like that fade in the public consciousness. There will always be a point in baseball history, and specific baseball history. We showed a graphic the other day about how good the pitching staff for the Braves had been thus far, comparing them, their ERAs through five postseason games. And one of the teams on the list was the 1919 Cincinnati Reds. I don't know anything about the 1919 Cincinnati Reds other than the graphic they showed me, which means their pitching staff was good, and that they won the World Series that year because that was the year of the Chicago Black Sox scandal. So that was eight men out. That was the year that they threw the World Series. That's the only reason I knew that. But I'm immersed in a very specific corner of, I need to know that for a really specific reason. Most people don't need to know those things. And I do think that if the Astros win the World Series in a weird, strange year where we should probably stop complaining about most things, I do feel like people have a tendency to forgive. Maybe not forgive, but they have a tendency to forget.
Adam Amin, it's always good to have you on here. It really is. You are a man for all seasons. Again, the football, you're all over it. The baseball, you're all over it. I mean, I got an NBA guy on my phone line here now, too, so I got to ask you, in a world where we're supposed to now appreciate things more, if LeBron and the Lakers win this tonight, any chance LeBron is appreciated more in the aftermath, or will it be another example of how do we blow holes in a man who is nothing short of one of the most extraordinary athletes we'll ever watch with our own two eyes?
There will be no appreciation, no universal appreciation for him until he's done, until he's retired. We have a tendency in general to not appreciate accomplishment and I guess that's it. We have a tendency not to appreciate a high level of accomplishment until we have nothing left to compare it to. Because we're still going to constantly compare LeBron and numbers. We're going to do that for the rest of time. But to appreciate the individuality of LeBron James, I don't think that will come until he's retired. When we realize there is no other LeBron James. It might take another 10 years before we get somebody. Well, I mean, we've been hyping up Zion Williamson, but he's not the same type of player. You have to be put in a position and be a specific type of player for you to become that kind of icon. We're not going to appreciate him until he's done. I hope it's soon after he's done. I hope it's quick that we understand and appreciate his accomplishments and in a very wild context in his career, social media in 2000, for him in 2003 to have that level of hype with no social media, to go into the age of social media and be as clean cut and be as honorable as he seems to be, and then take us through as the captain of the NBA, one of the strangest times in human history, and seemingly give us a sense of normalcy. I don't think we'll fully appreciate that until he's done.
Can we convince you to make a 1919 Cincinnati Reds reference in Sunday's game?
If we have a promo for the National League Championship Series, I feel like that might be a good time to drop it. I'm already picturing the promo. I don't even want to give it away. I'm already picturing the promo, right? Like, I can hear it in my head. Monday or whatever the day of Monday on FS1, game one of the NLCS, Dodgers-Braves, who saw this coming from the Braves pitching staff, putting up numbers like the 1905 New York Giants and the 1919 Cincinnati Reds.
Can we get a graphic of Arnold Rothstein?
That might be it might be a little bit harder for me to find the connectivity there, admittedly.
All right, let's work a little bit more.
You're a network guy. You can do this.
Let's work in the milieu of the last.
Did I fail the profession today? I feel like I am. Ratto's guilting me.
How about this? This is how you can absolutely get a passing grade. Should the Miami Dolphins miss a field goal this Sunday, can we get either a Laces Out or a Ray Finkel reference?
That is a challenge, and I will certainly accept and more than likely fail.
It was great to talk to you. Thank you so much. I mean, this was great. You keep getting assigned to games that we're talking about, and it's great because you're nice enough to pick up the phone whenever we call. Thank you so very much. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate you, boys. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.